May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So, several years ago, I went a little wild and crazy, and I went back to school. And in case you're wondering, I'm still going. This month, for school, I had to read a book and write a paper, and the book was entitled Practical Theology and Qualitative Research. I will say, I thought it was interesting, but it isn't something I would recommend to all of you, so I wouldn't run out and buy it. But in this book, the author is defining what is practical theology. And one way of defining it is it's a way of acknowledging and working out what it means to faithfully participate in God's mission right here and right now. Practical theology doesn't just seek to understand the world, but ultimately to change it. It challenges us to see the world just a little bit differently. And it opens up the possibility that the world, the way of the world as it is right now, is not the way that it has to be, or it will be. The author goes on to talk about one way of understanding a situation is to complexify it. And it's complexifying it as something, you look at something which at first glance seems perfectly normal, or it's just this uncomplicated idea. But through reflection and study, you begin to realize that the situation is very complex and not at all uncomplicated. And it occurred to me while I read the gospel this week that that was exactly what Jesus was doing. You've heard it said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not swear falsely. But I say to you, Jesus complexified these laws. Laws which were on the surface were relatively uncomplicated and straightforward. Jesus wasn't just giving us rules that we need to follow or else. He was calling his listeners, then and now, to choose life in a new way, calling us to a beloved community, one where all are welcome, blessed, and loved. A community that will initiate a radical new way of doing life right here and right now. Jesus wasn't contradicting the commandments given to Moses. He himself reminded us last week that he had not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But he did complexify them for us. You've heard it said that murder is wrong, but I say to you, while not murdering someone is a good first step, simply refraining from killing somebody is not good enough. How many other ways do we kill or destroy others through our resentments and our rage, the violence of our words, or through just plain spite and meanness? How often do we treat others as less than or invisible? In this gospel lesson, Jesus is once again turning everything upside down and inside out. Our real problem is not murder, but the anger and the fear that lies at its core. Our real problem is not ultimately adultery, but our failure to respect the dignity of each other. Our real problem is not when and if divorce is okay, but the brokenness of our relationships. This is a God who cares profoundly about human dignity for each one of us and all of his children. Jesus didn't come to just enforce the rules, and it isn't even about following the rules. It's going beyond the rules, reordering and reframing the world we live in. Jesus was telling us that the words of God do not just require a response from us that simply allow us to say we believe, but that our faith or our beliefs must be something that is, it's lived out and embodied in our daily life and our work. It's how we live out this life of faith in our words and in our actions, not just on Sundays, but this day and every day. Right now, we are living in a climate of deep political divisions. And those divisions seem at times to bring out the absolute worst in our public discourse and our behavior on the issues of the day. There's an increasing overt and open intolerance from some toward immigrants, toward the LGBTQ community, toward people of color, anyone who appears different culturally, ethnically. They become automatically suspect and potentially at risk. And I wonder, how does this gospel lesson speak to us today in this time that can be so trying to our souls? And what I hear from this lesson is that we matter to God, that we all matter to God, that how we live with each other matters, what we say, what we do matters. And I will admit, it would be a lot easier if God had just given us a list of simple rules for us to follow. But God is calling us into a deeply relational way of life that affects every encounter that we have with each other. God doesn't want us to settle for the bare minimum of civility to each other. In our Old Testament lesson, Moses tells the Israelites to choose life. According to Moses, choosing life includes canceling the debts of the poor, limiting punishment to protect human dignity, paying employees fairly. Moses was telling the Israelites that life was best for all when we work together and follow God's ways. And Paul reminds us today in the letter to the Corinthians that we must recognize that we are all God's servants working together in God's field and in God's building. And that is true, as true today as it was then. We all belong to God, and God chooses for us to live life and live it fully. That's what the lessons today are about for us. Choosing life. Choosing to follow Jesus. Saying yes to God. When we reduce God's laws to a simplistic list of do's and don'ts, we risk an interpretation that leads to our death and others' deaths by silencing of voices, discounting the personhood of others, disrespecting and demeaning of entire groups of people. In a sermon in 1938, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that saying yes to God requires us to say no to injustice and evil. Saying no to oppression and violation of the weak and the poor. These words were not intended as an invitation to comfortable respectability. But these words were a radically uncompromising call to follow Jesus and challenges us to really think about how we are going to live our lives with God today and every day. We are being called into a whole new way of life with God, into a relationship that nourishes and feeds us and gives each one of us life. So what if today we decide to choose this way of life with God? What if we decide to choose life? Loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul? What if we chose to live as if the kingdom of God was right here and right now in our midst? We might just pause before we lash out in anger or fear. We might pause before we labeled somebody in demeaning and ugly ways. We might say no to injustice. We might say no to the callous disregard for refugees and immigrants. We might say no to hostile environments that breed anti-Semitism and racism and every other kind of prejudice and hate. No to the rhetoric of division and dissension. Perhaps if we chose this way of life with God, we might stop and think, is what we are about to say or do, does it affirm or empower or uphold life and the dignity of others or not? Dorothy Day used to say to the Catholic workers in difficult and stressful times, if each one of us could just remember that we are all created in the image of God, then we would naturally want to love more. And we are living in difficult times. But what if we chose to live as if the kingdom of God was right here and right now? The beloved community, blessed and loved by God, loving one another as we are so loved. Imagine, just imagine what that community would look like. But I say to you, Jesus says, again and again and again, that the way of the world as it is not the way it has to be. Or it will be. Let us be the beloved community we all long for. Let's reach for it. Let's walk together toward it. Let us sustain it. Let us be courageous enough to say yes to God, believing with all our heart and soul that we are all beloved by God. You and me, us and them, everyone, everywhere. Let us walk together in God's way so that we may live, truly live, passionately and joyfully. Let us choose wisely. Let us choose life.